Welcome to the Michael Yu podcast. This is Michael Yu, and our special guest today is my very special girlfriend, Priya Acharagram. And she is going to tell you a little bit about the insight of being with an entrepreneur and a partner of somebody that has a business, and maybe shed some insight into what makes to be a supportive partner. So, Priya, please introduce yourself.
Hi, well, I'm Priya, the girlfriend of Michael Yu. And, what can I say about myself? I come from a little island in the Indian Ocean, and I came all the way across the ocean and met this wonderful human being that is Michael, and here I am on the podcast.
It's a very quick fast forward of your whole history. Why don't you share, like, with some more detail where you're from and what inspired you to come to Canada and some of the things that you struggled with?
So I come all the way across the other side of the world from an island that's situated between Australia and South Africa near the coast of Madagascar. And when I was a child, the only person who I knew who had traveled was my grandma, and she often asked me if I wanted to travel, and I said, well, I actually want to go and live in Canada. Of all places, I said I wanted to live in Canada. Well, then, like, many years went by, and one thing led to another. I came to Montreal, and then Montreal was too cold for me, and I came to Vancouver, and I just love this place. And the challenges that I faced here is really how far I was living from my place of work. I had to transit around like 4 hours to get to work, and so that was my main worry when it came to like adapting to here. I found my days like stretched from like 5 a.m. to like 10 p.m. at night. But then I moved to Kitsilano, and everything became perfect. Yeah, so that was it.
So on those long bus rides, did you have any epiphanies? Because I think for me, when I travel, I get a chance to be in solitude, and I'm able to have ideas and reflect on certain things that happen to me throughout the day. So it would be nice to kind of hear, did you have, you know, on those long bus rides you had, did you have any kind of epiphanies or things that you thought about?
Well, because my days were so long, I actually took the advantage of having such a long transit to sleep if I had a seating, but not really, unfortunately, because I was very tired. So, but I did like to see different type of different people and the way they dress, and so it was a total different environment for me, and people watching, I guess, was something I really liked to do.
So, obviously, coming from a small island and into Vancouver, more of a metropolis, tell us a little about your island. Tell us a little bit about what your experience was living in a small community and coming to a big community, and how that shaped you.
Mm-hmm. I think coming from a small island, things were at a very basic level, and these are the things that I actually learn to appreciate now. Like, for example, being at home with parents always around. Here, it's not the case because everyone has their own life. So it was very, very different. But at the same time, I found a lot of, you know, good value in seeing mom and dad like at home, and like feeling like it's a family, really. So these are the souvenirs that I've kept and cherish. And I guess, as I said, like coming from a small island, things are very simple. And so that simplicity sometimes is very refreshing. And obviously, I embrace the culture here. And I think with what I have taken back home, there's so many good things about here as well. I think it's a great combination of routine from home and what I can see here. Like, here people are very ready to go on adventure, and it's totally me. And I love like outdoors activities and things like that. So these are one of the other good things that I totally embrace about Vancouver.
Speaking about simplicity and some of the things that you experienced back in Mauritius in your hometown, like, what are the simple things in your life that you, you know, cherish the most? And what are the most important kind of takeaways you've had from when you're back home?
So things there is, like, for example, like, we rarely go out to eat, and like mom and dad, they're always cooking at home. So I just got used to this kind of life. So I implement this in my life now, and we keep the special occasions where we go out and eat. But more and more, like, we're doing home cooking, right? And you kind of like it.
Yeah, I definitely like it. I think, you know, we get into this culture, this society where we're able to have the ability to go out every night and have a meal, and loses a lot of the kind of the magic around going out in a special place and have new food. And so there's a great appreciation for, like, I my best meals that I ever have are actually at home, with, you know, just either being in the backyard and being able to have a dinner there, or the ability to just kind of be at home and having a little bit of time, which is very different. For an entrepreneur, you're mostly on the road and you're spending a lot of time alone and you're eating a lot of takeout, you know, and I think it's kind of a way of life. And so having that different, totally different life from when I'm at the office to when I get at home, it is really refreshing, and it's really fun to kind of be able to experience for myself. So obviously, you know, you came to Canada, you were able to kind of adapt. So what were some of the biggest challenges you had coming from your town and being into a big, kind of a somewhat big city?
I think one of the challenges is being able to read people, to be able to trust, to fully trust people after a couple of encounters. I thought it was going to be as easy as back home, but obviously here you have to keep your eyes a little bit open. And I think that was one of my challenge to actually, you know, like, become trustworthy again. And so let me ask you some questions since I'm on your podcast.
Yeah, please.
Okay, Michael, you tell us how it's like to be Michael Yu.
You know, it's really, I don't want to put this in a certain hyper-positive light, but, like, my life has turned out far better than I ever anticipated and expected. Growing up in Vancouver, being part of a very big family with three sisters, a brother, my grandparents, my parents, innumerable cousins. I never felt like I was any special type of individual. I felt that I was very average, or even in many cases below average. So my expectations were actually fairly set very low. And the world or society or circumstances were such that I was able to be put in a position where I was able to start my own business and was given the opportunity to be able to have responsibility to support my family. Well, my mom and my sisters and my grandparents and all that. And it was really circumstantial. So life turned out a lot better than I ever pictured. And speaking about that responsibility, I think some people would have shied away, but I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I really kind of embraced it as just kind of a fact of life that I had to do things that were uncomfortable. And everything that I did that was uncomfortable and everything that I did that was hard and painful always ended up being the most valuable things that I ever did. So mm-hmm. when I got my first job as a house painter, and I was on the mm-hmm. roofs of houses and in the heat of, you know, in the 30 to 40 degree heat, this is Celsius, not Fahrenheit, heat, you know, I just gained a lot of, like, experience and lessons. And, you know, I don't want to attribute it like a video game, but it was really gaining, like, experience. I was gaining, like, these opportunities to be able to, like, see how far I could push myself or see what I was good at. And so I'm very thankful for all those things. So being able to not only navigate through the capitalistic business world is one side of it, but also with relationships and with, you know, with my friends, my family, with my girlfriend. Uh-huh. I'm able to have experiences that I never thought I would ever have, far superior than I ever would have imagined. So I'm almost very happy that the early days of my life were very strife with a lot of negativity and things like that, because it's put a real positive spin on my adulthood. And I think I'm very, very grateful to have the opportunity to live the life that I'm able to live with the friendships that I've gained and the community that's around me, the company, the people that I get work with every day that are committed. And so I'm just so proud to see all these people grow around me, and I'm not to sound cheesy, but just absolutely in a blissful state to be able to have these people around me, and even being on this podcast to might be to one person, might be to a million people, I have no idea. But I think having the chance to just sit here in this moment to have a conversation with my girlfriend on my pod is kind of cool too, to think about.
Okay, time's up. Second question.
I have long-winded answers.
Okay, so short answers. I'm going to ask you a couple of things.
Okay, lightning round.
What's lightning round?
Lightning round is like you ask a question, I answer very quickly. A question, I answer very quickly, and it's like in a game show, and then you win a lot of points in subsequent fashions.
No, you know I can't deal with stress.
Okay, not lightning round.
No, not lightning round. So I'm going to ask you something, and then you just answer my question, okay?
Okay.
One fun thing about Michael Yu.
One thing?
One fun thing about Mike.
One fun thing?
Yeah.
One fun thing about me is that I love to laugh. It's my, like, it's the thing that defines me very much, is I love to smile and laugh, and it's like...
Okay, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Mike Lee. And one routine that you have every day.
Ooh, I kiss my girlfriend every morning.
Yes, he does.
I leave the house, and that's my, like, favorite part of the day, is that I get to kiss my girlfriend before I leave to work. And it is the thing I do every day. It's my favorite thing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, one dark thing about Michael Yu.
I always think about worst case scenarios. So whatever decision I make, I think about the absolute worst thing that's ever going to happen if I make this choice. And if I'm okay with it, I do it. If I'm not okay with it, I don't.
Awesome. And what is one of your most embarrassing moments?
I was on a fishing trip with my... So my dad just passed away, and his friends took my brother and I on a fishing trip, and we went up to the river's inlet, and I'm not used to and accustomed to eating all this, like, Canadian food, and so essentially I, like, had really big stomach problems being on the boat and the undulations of the ocean, and we're fishing for salmon, and, you know, for some unknown reason, I, like, was catching so many fish, and I hated it every moment of it. But on the way back from on the boat, surrounded by other fishermen and other people that were at the resort, I had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I had to go to the bathroom so bad that I had to go into the bathroom in front of everyone.
Oh,
so
my God.
Like 20 people that were laughing, throwing beer cans, like, and it was a very embarrassing moment. But ultimately, it was a very embarrassing moment, and I don't share it. I never share it.
Oh my God, now you share it with the world.
I just...
Is this this moment that made you not care about other people, what other people think?
That's a big part of it, because I've already humiliated myself so much.
You can't go lower than
audience.
That?
I don't mind humiliating myself anymore, so it's like, it's toughened me up, so it's actually a really good thing.
Awesome. Okay, so if you had to eat one food for the rest of your life, what food would that be?
It's gonna sound suck-up-ish, because my girlfriend's right here, but my girlfriend's curry chicken that she makes every day, or like very often for us, is what I would eat every single day. That with a little bit of rice and a little bit of like Napa cabbage or something.
Uh-oh.
Like
that. That's what
I would eat. I could eat that every day. And I'm a very routine person. I could do well in prison.
If they serve curry.
Yeah, if they serve like Salisbury steak or something like that, it would be different. But the same stomach issues as I had as the fisherman thing.
Okay, one last question. What is it about coffee? We know that Michael Yu loves coffee. So what is it exactly about coffee that you love so much?
There's three things about coffee that have a significance to me.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So one is the introspection that you have when you are sipping something hot.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to take your time. You get to, you're sitting typically, sometimes with clients but a lot of the times you're alone.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little bit of introspection that comes when you kind of breathe in deep and just sip something slowly. And I think the rhythmic behavior of sipping something slowly is kind of similar to that of meditation or yoga or something like that. It has that aspect of repetition that is required to shut your brain off and being able to kind of be introspective and think about different things in your life. And so that is one big part of coffee. The second is the stimulant part of it. So being able to feel a certain way and have a certain energy associated with coffee is something that's really fantastic. And the third is, I would probably say, like, the flavor aspects of it. So there's like five senses that you have. You have taste, touch, sight, smell, hearing. And this is how we experience this life. And because coffee has a very one side of the spectrum taste, which is a bitter taste, it's kind of like tasting one side of the spectrum. So you have like sweet on the other side and then bitter on the other side, or it's going to be spicy on a third dimension potentially. So you're really on one end. Which is a bitter end. And so it's kind of interesting. It's a little bit of like a spectrum of your existence, if you could say that.
Oh.
And so that's a part of it as well. So that's something that I do take for granted, because I'm somewhat of a scarfer. So like I basically eat very quickly.
Yes, he does.
I don't really savor the moment. And I think being able to have coffee and, you almost force yourself because it's so hot to kind of savor the moment.
Awesome. Okay, so because I'm really liking the question and answers with Michael Yu, I'm going to have two more questions and then we can call it a day. So if you had to hang out with one personality for a day, who would that be and why?
So Pri and I watched this really bad Netflix show called Marco. And Genghis Khan was, Temujin was a... that figure in history who kind of conquered the known world. And so he started as kind of a slave, and he was able to ascend to very high heights in military strategy and being a great warrior and a great leader of men, and very loyal to his wife. Like a very interesting character. So I'd love to be able to sit down for a bowl of goat milk.
yes.
With Temujin or Genghis Khan, to really pick his brain about of leadership and loyalty. And he taught his sons and he created this beautiful legacy. And so he would be one for sure. A second would probably...
you can only say one. Would that be okay for you, or do you want to add another one?
I'll add one more.
Okay,
I'll throw one more
for
in,
sure,
you know,
go ahead,
bucket. So my own grandfather on my mother's side, his name was Tan Tek Hang, and he was a lumberjack in Philippines, and he was actually foreman of a lumber company, but he started as a lumberjack. He taught me everything I know about business, life, family, responsibility.
Wow.
Care of your responsibilities, and really a lot to do with manhood. If I was given a chance, because I only speak English and he only spoke Chinese or our dialect, which is called Fujian or Fujian dialect, it was always very difficult to kind of understand each other. But I got a lot of the premises of his teachings through kind of example and through non-verbal cues. Mm. But I would love to just be on the same kind of linguistic plane with my grandfather to learn more about his take on business, life, relationships, philosophy. He had such a keen and sharp mind. So he died about 5 years ago, a very impactful person, and I really, for me at least, so I really would love to have had a chance to be able to reconnect with him and really have a lunch or a coffee or a tea or a beer. He didn't drink beer, so
that's really nice.
He liked ice cream, so an ice cream with him. Yeah,
awesome. That's very touching. I just wanted to add that I think Marco, the show on Netflix, is awesome. I don't know why you thought it wasn't, but I thought it was awesome, and I wish it had more ratings. I'm just saying, if the directors is listening to me and if I make any difference. I love the show. I'm still waiting for the next one. So, one last question, Michael Yu.
Sure.
If you were a woman, who would you be and why?
If I was a woman, I would be Priya Chandra. I'm going to date on trunk. No, just kidding. I think like every human being, men, woman, whatever, have some elements of masculinity and some elements of femininity. And what's really interesting between Priya and I, our relationship, is that I don't want to say it in this sort of way, but I'm a fairly masculine person. I don't really...
Yes, you are. He's a man's man.
I don't really, like, you know, I don't love fashion. I'm not a very... I don't have feminine kind of...
He's naturally handsome. That's what he's trying to say.
I'm not handsome, but, like, yeah, I think I'm a bit more masculine. I'm, like, a little bit less detailed. Stuff like that. You know, I have my limitations. But if I was to, like, let's say I had two bodies, like, Freaky Friday style.
Yep.
I would probably want to be... I don't know if I'd want to be a celebrity, because I feel like that in itself has a lot of pressures and issues that are associated and impacted with it. You know, this is going to sound really weird.
Okay.
There's a woman who I see almost on a daily basis, and she works at the Starbucks that I go to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know her name, but... she's very, very joyful every time I'm there. And she really takes pleasure in the simple things of, like, getting people coffee. She's very friendly. She asks a lot of, like, great questions. She seems to know every early morning customer that comes. I go there about 5 o'clock in the morning. And she seems genuinely very, very happy. And she has a really great husband. She's told me, I think his name is Tom. I don't even know her name, but her husband's name is Tom. And and she seems very contented and, like, really in a place of joy. And so she'd probably be the person I want to be.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
Interesting choice. Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's very interesting choice. Well, thank you, Mike.
This is supposed to be an interview of you. So now let me turn the tables. Let's flip the switch.
Okay.
Yin to Yang. So... you know, not to be too narcissistic, but, okay. Like, so being a partner of a, you know, I'm using air quotes here because I'm not trying to, like, say that I'm the greatest or whatever, but being the partner of an entrepreneur that is on, that out a lot, that's not, you know, that's working a lot. Tell us some of your experiences of being with a person that works a lot, that has their own business, and some of those struggles or good things.
Well, it's interesting because I've never been put in that position. And still now, I don't think I fully comprehend the amount of responsibility that you have. And sometimes, you know, like when you work so much and I'm at home, I'm like, okay, I wish you could come home a little bit earlier. But then I just remind myself that there's like nearly 300 people like around you counting on you. And so that makes me go, you know, have some logic as to your reality. But for some reason, you're very good at listening to me when I say, you know, let's have a quiet night at home this week, at least one or two. So I think having the possibility of talking to you and you making that happen really helps. And on the other side too, I do love my alone time. And so when Michael is not at home, he laughs at me and he makes a lot of jokes about it. I just put a lot of essence at home.
That's essential oil. It smells like a hippie den.
Yes.
In my house, there's incense burning, there's essential oils like on little weird strange dishes that I don't know where they came from, and it always smells like some weird seance just happened every time I come into the house. And so it's a very, it's, I'm like, what'd you do today? It's a very interesting kind of experience, because you know, I'm pretty practical. I have a lot of like pragmatism in a sense, but getting to enjoy things like smell, like, you know, I don't value it very much in a sense, but like she does. So this is our existence.
Yes. We're very complimentary, but very different. So when you're not at home, I'm putting some quiet music on and like meditating and enjoying a bath. Everything calming and relaxing. So it's a good balance, I think, and you always try to have some time during the year where we have our getaway. So that helps too. I think we lead. You have a busy life, and we try our best to make it happen. If there's a will, there is a way.
So, you know, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening to the podcast. There's a lot of people that are thinking about starting their business and having that. Sounding too cheesy. So Pri is an amazing partner for a entrepreneur because she's so patient and kind. Aww. And understanding and very complimentary. She's very supportive. With a lot of variety of things, whether it's funny, we're doing this pod after we've just had 4 hours of a summer party here at Oakwind where she had to schmooze and kind of rub elbows, and she's an introverted person, so having the expenditure of energy to be able to have these conversations with people that she does not know is not an easy thing. So if you were to give some tips, tricks, and strategies for the partner, family member of an entrepreneur, what would they be?
First of all, you have to know what you're getting into. And once you accept the person, you have to accept the whole package. You don't only like someone for only one thing. Many people come in various layers and responsibilities. So you have to, you really need to feel that you're embracing all of these aspects of that person. And just, I think for me, what keeps me going is to know that truly, and that's going to sound like, I don't know if cheesy is the right word. I think Mike does whatever he does mostly for others, and I can see that. It's his life is very, very simple. So knowing where your partner is coming from and seeing what's ahead and seeing the dream and understanding that it might not be only about you. It might be for something grander than only you and him, or, you know, you both. So I see that, and I see how many people is counting on him. So I think that makes me realize that I am not the center of the world. Ha!
You're not?
I'm not. And, you know, when you know that, and it's actually very humbling, you know, it's a destruction of your ego. And even though the ego doesn't want to die, but when it dies a little bit, you feel so much better. So seeing the big picture, like if you're the partner of an entrepreneur, seeing the big picture and seeing how you will be able to tackle it yourself. You need to know what you're getting into, obviously. And once, you know, you're okay with that, then there's many things that you need to embrace. But I also want to have, like, my dreams come true. So in a way, you got to, like, work together so that things are balanced and satisfying for you as well. So it's a constant communication between you and your partner as well. So yeah, like good communication, knowing what you're getting yourself into, and seeing the big picture, and making sure that you're happy as well, and that the cup on both sides is full.
You know, I think that I could not put it any better way, and I think that is a perfect way to end this podcast. This pod with Priya Chargram. You know, I want to thank you for listening today, and I want to thank the Priya for being a part of the Michael U Podcast episode 3, which is pretty amazing. And we're just so pleased to be able to share our lives with guys, and hopefully add and be a part of your day. It's a pretty exciting thing to me, and we'll have Priya on again. This is actually
more dark secrets gonna come out.
The podcast I've had, I think it's. So we're gonna wrap up here, and thank you, Pri, for being a part of the Michael U podcast.
Thank you for having me, Michael U.
It is going to be named something better in the future, but, you know, I'm a go for it guy, so I just do it, and I don't really think too much, and so basically we will have a better name for the podcast as it comes to us, as we discover what it is to be. So Yeah, I want to thank all the listeners today, and great rest of your day.
Ciao.
We're going to Italy in like 2 weeks, so we're going to be ciao people. All right, ciao people.